Weak and unstable, come. No, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken, come taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those. His promise is peace for those who believe. So come, though you have nothing, come. He is the offering, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Born, Christ is born for you. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you.
That is a beautiful song. I pulled the lyrics up here. Listen to these words. It says, O come all you unfaithful. Now we sing about, O come all ye faithful, right? This is, O come all you unfaithful. Isn't that a powerful truth? You know, we fall down in our faithfulness. All the time. And we were talking this morning Sunday school about, you know, when you got saved, brother, and you went for 10 years probably, 10, 12 years without really recognizing what that really meant in your life. And that's okay. You know, you don't decide to be perfect so that you can get saved. You get saved because you're imperfect. Amen. Right? Amen. And God does a perfecting work in our lives that ultimately ends with a glorified body in heaven, right? We're never going to be perfect until we get to heaven. Amen. And you know, we spend a lot of time in our Christian lives sometimes trying to live a perfect life, and we should. We should. That's the goal, right? But we sometimes fail. And sometimes we fail miserably. And Jesus is there to forgive and to pick us up and brush us off. Smack us on the backside and say, now don't do it again, right? Just like with my, I was going to say my youngest, but really all three of them. Sometimes there were times in their younger childhood or even last week that we have to say, all right, that's enough. We don't do that. We don't act that way. We don't talk that way. That's not how Pattersons act. And we move on. By the way, we've got a stowaway with us today. Jonas is a good friend of our boys, and he came to watch the ball game yesterday. They went down to watch the Mizzou game, and he lives in Lee Summit and goes to college down in Springfield. And his mom and dad were like, "It's a little icy. Can he just crash there?" And he did. And so he's came to church with us. So Jonas, thanks for coming. Good to have you here. Yeah. Everybody, this is Jonas. Jonas, everybody. So Jonas, good guy. But you know, it's amazing how that this time of year we go from Thanksgiving right into Christmas. The thing that we should be most thankful for is what immediately follows Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk a bit about Thanksgiving today, but it's all within the context of what's about to happen. The Christmas season that really, Jackie and I were commenting on the way to church this morning. It's hard to believe it's already December 1st, right? I mean, this year has just flown. And the fact that we had a late Thanksgiving this year kind of just added to that a little bit. But it's hard to believe that today is December 1st. It feels like December. It's beautiful. Remember, I love snow. But it's amazing how things just go straight into Thanksgiving. So let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to start by reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Very short verses. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and then in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's interesting how rejoicing, prayer, and thanksgiving are all hand in hand. They all go together. But I love that command, really, at the beginning of verse 18 where it says, "In everything give thanks." Thanks. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'd be with me as I speak this morning. I pray that you'd help me to have the words that you want me to say, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight as I preach up here today. I pray, Lord, that this would be a service that will challenge all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. About 14, 15 years ago, I wrote a note. Just a short note about Thanksgiving, and I'm going to read the majority of it here. It's short. It's about Thanksgiving, and I titled it, "Thanksgiving, My Favorite Holiday." Here's what I said. "This is perhaps my favorite holiday of the entire year. I love everything about it. I love the food. I love watching my Dallas Cowboys. They won this year. I love spending time with my family. There are just so many reasons to love Thanksgiving. I know this may come as a shock for those who know me well, but my main reason for loving Thanksgiving has little to do with food. Thanksgiving is the one day of the year set aside for the purpose of simply this, being grateful." Amen. My dad drilled in us the importance of having a grateful spirit. He would say, "It's such a simple thing to say. Just say thank you." Thank you is a very powerful thing to say and even a more powerful thing to hear. So to all my friends, family, and coworkers, I say thank you. Thank you for enriching my life, for being related to you, by knowing you, or by being associated with you in any way. I also want to say thank you to my God, who is not only the giver and sustainer of life, but the giver of eternal life in heaven through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving, as we know it, is a distinctly American holiday, but is also a distinctly Christian holiday. The official proclamation given by Abraham Lincoln on October 3rd, 1868, includes these words: "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart a day of thanksgiving and prayer to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heavens." At the time of the first official Thanksgiving, the American Civil War was nearly 2 years from its conclusion, and the country was fiercely divided. However, in the midst of incredible turmoil and under less than desirable circumstances, President Lincoln declared that Americans should stop what they were doing and dedicate a day of giving thanks to God for his goodness to the American people. So this Thanksgiving and beyond, I encourage you to take some time to stop and thank God for his goodness in your life. Even if your mashed potatoes turned out lumpy, your turkey was dry, you forgot to put sugar in the pumpkin pie, or your favorite baseball team or favorite football team lost their game. I don't know anybody whose favorite team didn't win this time. The Chiefs won on Friday, the Cowboys won on Thursday, and those are the only two teams that really matter, right? I mean, let's just be honest. We all have a lot to be thanksgiving for. And I'm thankful for you. Happy Thanksgiving. It's a command in Scripture here in 1 Thessalonians that we be a thankful people. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, when you think about the contrast of how things are in the U.S., let's just talk about that first. How things are here in the United States versus other countries. Let me tell you, we got our problems. We got a lot of warts in our society. In different parts of our cities and towns and states, and there's problems. This is a great country, and I'm tickled to death to live here. I've been to a couple other countries, and so I've seen to some degree the contrast of what living in the United States looks like versus other parts of the world. I was in Africa one time in Uganda, and we were there for about 10 days on a mission trip. And you know, the healthcare system that they have is almost non-existent. You would go through these little towns and there would be a clinic. And the only purpose of the clinic was for someone to show up about maybe once a month, once every other month, so that they could hand out drugs or treatments to help folks with AIDS. That was their only healthcare. That's it. Only official healthcare. Now, they had their witch doctors and they had their whatever that they, somebody would get a scratch on their arm and they'd say, well, okay, rub a little mud on it and hopefully it'll be all right. That was really the extent of their healthcare. If somebody got really sick, they'd have to load them up best way they could on some kind of a car or a truck or a bus or something and get them to a hospital in some village a 5 or 6 hour ride away. And hopefully they survived the ride just so they could get here. Contrast that to the United States. Something happens to you right here in Columbia. Take your pick. I mean, there's several good hospitals right here in Columbia. There's doctor's offices all over the place. If there's not, you can get on your phone and do a telehealth visit with someone who's at the touch of a button. You can be talking to a doctor who can be giving you medical advice. I mean, just the healthcare aspect of it in our country is so much better than what we have in other parts of the world. Be thankful for that. As a Christian, we have so much to be thankful for. If you think about this, humanly speaking, the worst thing that could ever happen to a Christian is to go to heaven. Right? I mean, humanly speaking, the worst thing that ever happened to anybody is to die, right? Well, that's even better for us. The Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Now, God puts inside of us a will to live. None of us wants to die, and that's God-given. If you've ever struggled with your will to live, you need to talk to somebody. No matter how young or old you are, you need to talk to somebody. And in this country, there's people to talk to. God gave us a will to live and a desire to live. But truthfully, the worst thing that could happen to you is to go to heaven. We have so much to be thankful for. God loves us. And he has done so much for us as Christians. Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. But you know, sometimes we live a life that doesn't have much gratitude in it. We complain about things. You know, we talk about first world problems. Oh man, it's so cold. But yet you have a nice heated house. You have nice heated vents in your car. You have nice warm clothes to wear. And the only place that's really cold is the distance between your door and your car door. That's really the only time you feel cold, right? Everywhere else is warm. And sometimes we forget to pause and thank God for the fact that we can be warm even when it's cold outside. Or what I'm sometimes more concerned with is the fact that I have air conditioner when it's hot outside. Because I don't like the heat, but I like the cold. But you know, we sometimes dwell on the pessimistic side of life. Even when we're so blessed and have so many good things that are happening to us. The Bible has so much to say about living an upbeat life filled with gratitude. Right here, the command is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says that in everything we are to give thanks to God. But let's look at a couple other passages of Scripture where that it talks about what we are to be thankful for. Psalm 136 in verse number 1. Psalm 136 verse 1 says this. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. There's so much that we can give thankful for God because He is good. It says His mercy endures forever. You know what we deserve? We deserve to spend an eternity in a Christless hell, right? That's what we deserve. But through His mercy, we don't have to. For those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we get to spend an eternity in heaven because of His mercy. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 3. It talks about God's protection upon us. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 3 says this. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. God protects us. Sometimes God protects us in ways that we don't even see. Amen. We have no idea of danger that's around us, and I'm glad we don't sometimes, right? God protects us from that. So we should never stop praying for and praising God for His protection to us. In Psalm 28, just a couple of Psalms over, Psalm 28 verses 6 and 7, it says this, Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. God hears us in our distress. God hears us in our distress. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. God is our victory. Amen. God is our victory. We have victory in life because of Him. We have victory in eternity because of Him. God is our victory. Now, listen to the contrast. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 2. Here is the contrast of what it looks like to not have God's protection on our lives. It says in verse number 2, it says, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. We are to reject all of these things that are signs of an ungodly life. And I find it very interesting that in the midst of all of those awful things, the unthankful are part of that. Did you know that it is ungodly to be unthankful? The Bible says it right here. That's the contrast. It's a list. It lists unthankfulness as one of the characteristics of a godly life. But perhaps the most famous passage of Scripture, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today, the most famous passage of Scripture about thanksgiving is Psalm 100. Let's look at Psalm 100. Let's just read the whole thing, and then we'll make a few comments about Psalm 100, and then we'll be done. It says here, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's read that verse 4 all together. All together as one voice. Let's read verse 4 all together. You ready? "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." You know, there are hundreds of references to being thankful, having gratitude, being appreciative in the Bible. Hundreds of references to that. Sometimes it's a reference because it's a good example of this is someone to emulate. Sometimes it's just part of a story. You know, you think of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. You remember that story? That Jesus came upon 10 lepers and they were all this little leper colony all together because there's nobody else that they could be around. Jesus came up to them and healed all of them. And then he told them to go ahead and make your way back to the priest so that they could be declared clean again. And what happened? One of them came back. Only one. One of them came back and thanked him for what he had done for them. Sometimes being having a grateful spirit is just part of a story, but it's a good example. But in many of those cases, it's a command. It's a command. Why is it a command? Why is it a command for us to be thankful? I mean, it's commanded because that's just the way we should live. I mean, we just read in 2 Timothy 3 about the fact that unthankfulness is a sign of an ungodly life. So being thankful is a sign of a godly life. We're commanded to be thankful. There's three things that I find here in Psalm 100. Psalm 100, the first one really is the principle of praise. The principle of praise. It's a command. It's a conscious decision. How often do you say thank you? When Jackie makes a meal at home, I try. You can ask her. I don't think this happens often that I don't say this, but usually I say thank you. Is that all right? When someone opens the door for you, you say thank you. When you're in traffic and somebody lets you in, you should say thank you. When just in general in life, you should say thank you. When your server comes to your table to bring you food at the Bob Evans and puts the food right in front of you, you should say thank you. When somebody does something nice for you, say thank you. When they don't do something nice for you, well, you say thanks for nothing. Well, no, you probably shouldn't do that. But you should say thankful. You should be a thankful person. Because that's what godly people do. It is a command. It is a principle of life to be grateful. You know, think about the opposite of that. What does it mean to not follow God's command to be thankful? It means you take people for granted. right? It might mean you're a little bit spoiled and you don't even recognize the goodness that other people are towards you. You know how you live a bratty life? You don't ever say thank you if you live a bratty life. And let me tell you, brattiness isn't relegated to just kids. Sometimes we get a little bratty too, right? Do your head like this. Being thankful is a command. It is a principle. The principle of praise is that it is a command. It is a conscious decision. Yes, being grateful and being thankful about things, yes, it becomes an instinct. But every instinct that you have because you've learned it and practiced it and honed it. It's just like deer hunting. Who all in here is deer hunters? There's a few deer hunters in here. When you're a deer hunter, there are things that you just know by instinct that you do or don't do. For one, when you're getting ready to go out to the woods, oh man, let's put on a little cologne here. I don't want to stink in the woods. You don't do that, right? Why don't you do that, Jonas? Because the deer will smell you. They'll be like, that doesn't smell like food, or it doesn't smell like another deer. I'm getting out of here. There are other things. I mean, when you're walking through the woods, you don't just go crashing through the woods making all kinds of noise because you scare every deer in the county away. You try to make yourself invisible and unheard. That way, when the deer comes by, they have no idea that you can do it, and kablooey, and then you have lunch on your table, right? That's how it works. There are things that you just learn by instinct. Being a grateful person is just like that, too. It's a command, but it's a conscious decision to be grateful and thankful. So the principle of praise is found right here in verse 1. It's a command. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There is a principle of praise, and the principle is this. It's a command, but that principle is based on what is the purpose for praise. That's number two. What is the purpose for praise? And the purpose for praise is very simply. In verse 3, it says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We praise him for who he is. We praise him because he is God. We praise him for what he is. He's good. We praise him for what he is. He is a good God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Have you ever thought about what it means to be humble? What is humility? At its core, in the context of the Christian life, humility is simply recognizing who God is in comparison to who I am. I am 100% dependent on God for everything in life. Well, our culture tells us, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, you're number one. And, I'm not going to rag on all that. There's some good life principles to be found in all that. But guess what? God controls the air we breathe. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have oxygen to breathe. Amen. God controls our bodies, our health, our minds. He's the one that keeps my heart beating. God's the one that makes everything happen in perfect order that only he could do. Amen. And when you recognize that that's what God does on a daily basis, we should be thankful for that. We take so much for granted. We take our health for granted. I had a little health scare just in the last month. I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, you know, you're getting old and fat and sassy and all those things. And he said, I want you to go have a stress test. And so I did a stress test. Anybody ever done a stress test? I mean, it's like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in the middle of the summer, you know. I mean, you feel like your heart's about to explode, and you're like, if you were worried about me having a heart attack and you're making me do this, well, what's the point? Why am I doing this? But that, you know, you have this stress test. Well, they did the stress test and they found some things they didn't like. And so, I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, my dad was 4 years older than I am right now when he had his first heart attack. And he had to have open heart surgery. And I'm thinking, oh no, is it my turn? But you know what? I trusted the Lord. I knew God had everything in control. And so we went and had it all checked out. I had a heart cath. I was like, man, I feel like I'm not near old enough to be having even conversations about this, let alone be having the procedure. I had a heart cath done. And guess what? Everything's fine. The doctor said the only reason why maybe something showed up different on my heart, on my stress test, is he said my heart muscle is a little thick. I guess that's a good thing. He didn't seem too concerned. So, you know, I guess my heart's strong. That's the way I took it. He says thick, I took it as strong. So, you know, there's things that we can give God thanks for that we just take for granted. Up until about a month and a half ago, I took my heart for granted. You know, I tried to control my cholesterol and triglycerides and all this stuff. Well, unless there was a piece of, nice big piece of thick cheese or something in front of me, then I didn't worry too much about my heart in that moment. But, you know, sometimes we forget to be thankful to God for what He just controls, and we don't even realize He's doing it. Just like our heart, our mind, the air we breathe, the function of our lungs. All those things we just seem to take for granted because we don't think about it. We don't see it. But God does things for us every day, every minute, every second of our lives that He's in control of. He is a good God and He's got it all under control. The purpose of praise, the purpose of our praise is because of God, who He is and what He is. The third thing, the power of praise. The power of praise. It says here in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The power of praise. Praise affects us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If you live a life of thankfulness and gratitude for what He's done for you, it's kind of hard to be a bit of a sour person, isn't it? God doesn't want us moping our way through life, right? Amen. That's no fun to live that way anyway. You're always frustrated. Always feel like somebody's got it out for you. Always God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to live in a life that's marked with thankfulness. The ungodly don't live that way. The ungodly people are the ones that live a life of just constantly worrying and complaining and all these things. That's not how God wants us to live. That's not the victorious Christian life. God wants us to, in our lives, the power of praise. He wants us to for our lives to be marked physically, spiritually, and emotionally by God's goodness in our lives. Live a life of thankfulness. You know, when you think about the power of what God has done for us, not just in what He does to control the life around us, but when you think about the season that we're going into, really, if you do your Advent calendar, today you can punch out your first little piece of chocolate. Just remember that there's 25 days between now and December 25th. Just one piece of chocolate a day. If you do the Advent calendar thing, today's day one. The Christmas season is all about God's goodness. It's God's goodness into eternity. God is so good. We sang about that. Lauren sang the song, "O Come All You Unfaithful." That's why He came to this world, is because we are an unfaithful people and we need a Redeemer. It's not that we are sinners because we have ever sinned. It's that we sin because we were born with a sin nature. Just like it says in John chapter 3, my favorite verse of the Bible is not John 3:16, but the very following verses in 17 and 18. It says, "For he didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He came to this world because the world was condemned already." And that's why John 3:16 exists. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He didn't come to this world to condemn those who would not receive him, because they were already condemned. He came to this world to save everyone. All who would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and receive that gift of eternal life, those are that is the fulfillment of God's goodness in life.
Amen.
It says here, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And then this last part of verse 4. "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Why? "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and in truth endureth for all generations." God's so good. We have so much to be thankful for. This month of December, this month that we set aside to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, never forget to show gratefulness and gratitude in all of our actions and our attitudes and in our witness for him. You know, one of the greatest signs of thankfulness and gratitude is sharing the good news to other people. This Christmas season, really better than any other time in the year, this is a great time of year to share Christ's love with other people. How did Jesus do that? Well, one, he died on the cross, but he also was observant, and he sought out people who had needs, and he helped meet those needs. Sometimes those needs were physical. You know, think about the woman at the well. He asked her to help him meet a physical need. He said, "Can you give me water?" And she said, "Well, how can I? How can I give you water?" He said, "I'm thirsty." And there, at the well, he saw that she had a need, not just for physical water, but for spiritual water, the water of life. And she got saved right then and there. He purposed to go through Samaria that day, which was not customary for Jews to do. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. So the Jews would go around Samaria to get to where they were going. And he told the disciples, "We're going through Samaria," because he knew that there was somebody that needed help. Sometimes we have to be a little creative and think through ways that we can bless other people. And listen, blessing somebody else doesn't have to cost you anything. Listen, I'm not a wealthy person. I don't have money to just be going out and giving money to every people. But let me tell you something. There's people that need more than just monetary or physical things. Sometimes just a smile can make somebody's day. A kind word can make somebody's day. That doesn't cost you anything. All it takes is you being a little observant and just to be a blessing to other people. God wants us to live a life of thankfulness. But look at what it says, and we end with this. It says in Psalm 100, verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." We are to be a joyful people. You know, there's a difference between joy and happiness, right? Happiness is a response to a circumstance, right? Joy is a decision. Joy is a decision. You decide to be joyful.
Amen.
Sometimes happiness happens because it happens. But joy is a decision, and that's how God wants us to live. The greatest way to be joyful is to share his joy with others. This Christmas season, let's be a bold witness for the Lord. Let's be a bold witness for the Lord and share the joy of Christ to everyone around us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us in our lives. and that you've given us reasons to be grateful and thankful in all that we do. Help us, Lord, as we go into the Christmas holiday season, to be thankful and to show the joy of the Lord to those that are around us. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to never forget that very simple principle of showing joy around the world to us. In Jesus' name, amen.